Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, May 21st, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist and I'll be hosting the show tonight. And my co-host is Charlie Quine and he'll be joining us momentarily. Got a couple updates for today, but first off, please remember why American Statesman is here. American Statesman is all about duty, honor, and country. It's all about taking the right action to correct the wrongs and the threat to the future of our country. So American Statesman, it's all about duty, honor, and country. And we have realized that the biggest problem we face today, and I think very few people don't realize it, they just don't really think about it, I guess, to say it or to put it into words, But we've been taken over by a bunch of self-serving politicians. Of course, it's our fault for letting the politicians do this to us because we keep reelecting the same politicians who keep creating the same havoc and chaos and, in some cases, to me, treasonous actions against our country. So we know we don't need to fear Al-Qaeda. We need to fear the politicians. The politicians are the ones who have truly destroyed this country, and we've let them. We open the door and let them. So there can be no doubt that we are truly the ones who are responsible because we're the ones who keep reelecting the self-serving politicians. We have got to do something about that, and 2012 is going to be the year. Some of the things I've been hearing about just proves even more the craziness of what's going on in this election year and how crazy it's going to get. I don't know. I'll tell you, I get really concerned with some of the things that I hear and see out there, and we're going to talk about a few of those today. Today we're going to focus really, the main issue today is we are going to talk again about the FCC. We started that discussion on Thursday with Tina Trenner, and how the FCC regs are supposed to protect us and actually help us with our elections, but they have failed. They have failed to enforce their own rule, which is to serve the public interest. And so we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty of what the FCC is supposed to be doing, what the networks are supposed to be doing. Let's define what it means to serve the public interest, especially when it comes to elections and those kind of things. So we're going to get into a little bit more in-depth discussion on that. But there's a couple other things that are going on. And if you have anything that you've been involved in lately or you're going to be doing and you want to share it with other listeners, other patriots, please call in at 347-857-4364. It's 347-857-4364. And make sure you press 1 so that you're put in the queue to speak on the air. If you call in and you don't press 1, we think you're just listening, and that's okay too. We won't think you want to speak on the air, so make sure you press 1 and we'll put you through. Some of the other things that are going on right now, let's go over, I've got a small list of things here. This weekend, the 24th through the 27th, the Florida Homeschooling, which is Florida Parents Educators Association, is having a conference at the Gaylord Palms in Kissimmee. And American Statesman is going to be there helping the GO group. We're going to be there with GO helping to promote electing citizen representatives and getting the others out of our house, which is what GO stands for. Get out of our house and go to www.gooh.com to learn more about GO. We're going to be there helping out, and that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so we may not have a show on Thursday. We're still working out the details there, but we'll let you know what's going on. And this homeschooling is so critical. I mean, part of the problem we've had with everything happening in our country today is the dumbing down of Americans by the public education system, which is controlled by those who are elected in public office. Instead of bringing up the education of Americans, they've truly dumbed us down and made us think that the Constitution doesn't matter and that they don't have to follow the Constitution, which we see they don't, but they're supposed to, and those kind of things, and totally misrepresenting the Constitution. Now they don't even want to teach about George Washington. So homeschooling is truly one of the biggest things we need to get involved in to save this country, getting the government totally out of education. They have not done what they were supposed to on that one. So that's going to be an important conference, and I'm looking forward to going to that. The other is, it was just this past week, Alabama. We have to thank Alabama, congratulate them. They signed a bill, it's Senate Bill 477, a bill that is against Agenda 21, a bill that protects the rights of Alabama to do what they want to do with their environmental initiatives and things like that. It's, you go out there and you read it, it says Senate Bill 477, and they just recently signed it in this past week, signed it into law, that actually blocks Alabama from being part of Agenda 21. That's what we need here in Florida. Unfortunately, when you try to talk with county officials such as Mayor Jacobson and, of course, the gang of thugs in Tallahassee, they don't want to hear about it because they are so knee-deep in the garbage of Agenda 21, trying to make money for themselves and do whatever else that they really don't care about, we the people. So we're going to have to get in their face, and I'm going to be doing more on that one in the near future here, and demanding that we have a similar bill to protect the rights of Floridians against Agenda 21. Another rumor out there about Jeb Bush being the VP. I'm telling you, the Republican Party, you can't, if you believe in the Constitution, and you, which if you believe in the Constitution to any true extent, you're considered a conservative. It's kind of crazy that you have to be a conservative to believe in the Constitution, but that's another story. But, you know, if you believe in the Constitution, and you watch what this Republican Party is doing, you just got to say, you guys are just nuts. The Republican Party is nuts. I mean, the people that they're picking for their VP, between Rubio and Jeb Bush and some of the others, I'm like, you know, why don't you guys just go ahead and send the congratulations thing to Obama now, because you're doing everything you can to reelect him. You're not doing anything to help promote the Constitution and help take it back from him. Just totally nuts. And let's see what else. Then this was it last week or the week before, the Islamic Society Nationals of North America, Islamic Society of North America, had a meeting, or they called it the Eastern Zone Conference or something to that effect, in Tampa, Florida. Didn't hear anything about it through the media. Now, even when I tried to look it up on the Tampa news segments, I couldn't find anything out there. But I did see it on their website, on their Facebook, and also one other activist group who's patriots that are actually talking about what's going on. There's this thing that's coming down the line. It's and we all need to be concerned. This group, ISNA, as they're calling it, in August, it's the end of August, the beginning of September, it's like August 31st through September 3rd, right after the same time as the Republican convention going on, they're going to be having some big protest or rally or something in Washington, D.C., and they're there to tell us that, you know, hey, we're taking over. The Muslim community, the Islamic Society of North America, they're the ones that are taking over. And that's what their message was, and that was part of the reason why they came to Tampa, to let, as I was hearing it in this one video, they were in Tampa to tell the GOP there's a new sheriff in town, and it's them. So, you know, people, you just better be ready for whatever's going to happen. It's, I don't know what to expect. I'm trying to be as prepared for anything, but I think it's going to get really crazy out there, even crazier than it's already been. And let's see, and because of that, and actually that kind of leads me to one other thing I was going to mention, that what's going on there, and one other thing with the UN, you know, we really better hope and pray that our military truly holds up to their sworn oath of the Constitution and protects us against our own government. I really do believe it's going to end up coming down to the line where those who are in the military are going to be forced to make a decision. You're going to have to reject what the commander-in-chief says in order to protect the American people. I just have this weird feeling something like that is going to happen, and we are truly going to be at the mercy of our military to protect us against this government. That may sound crazy to some people, and if you have any thoughts on it, you're more than welcome to call and share them. But with everything that's going on and what we see happening from this administration and from those in D.C., the ones that are in the House, the Senate and the House, these people go along with this stuff. I mean, I don't, so much of what they do to me has got to be treason. How can it not be treason when I'm going to talk about treason one here, this other thing that's going on? The UN. Once again, that's called LOST, and that's the Law of the Sea Treaty. UN LOST Treaty. Law of the Sea Treaty. They tried to push for this a while back, and it didn't go through, but now they're out there doing it again. And this major takeover of this globe, the UN, part of Agenda 21 stuff, major takeover of this thing. And in this one article, it made reference to former Senator Trent Lott, who was a Republican, and he was an American at one point. I don't know if he's still an American or not. In the past, he was against it. Let's see, how does it say it here? Former Senator Trent Lott, a once ardent foe of LOST, is now lobbying for its ratification after being paid $110,000. These are what these politicians do to us. Now, Trent Lott's not in office anymore. He got ousted the last time around, I guess. But he was in the Senate for many years. And this is what these people do. How could you possibly go out there, how can you be an American and not be a traitor when you're trying to surrender our rights to the UN? And this is, Trent Lott is doing this because he got paid $110,000. Isn't that sick? And you think how pathetic that is, what he's doing there, and how this all ties into what is happening in Washington, D.C. These people are bought and paid for just like that. They don't care about us. And we got proof of that all over the place here. And I was reading this on the John Birch Society, so if anybody wants to see it, you can go out there and get it from that information there. That they're the ones that actually reported about what Trent Lott getting paid $110,000 to do this. It's just despicable. And then going back to the FCC, which is going to be our main discussion today, and I'm going to get Charlie involved here too because he is really into what they're doing and how it impacts our complaint and everything else. It was in February of this year, Congress is trying to sell off our airwaves. They are trying, once again, they're going to try and get money anywhere they can. Instead of doing the right thing, instead of being statesmen, stateswomen, protecting the rights of the people and strictly managing our business, they're once again putting us on the selling block and trying to sell us off. And I'm telling you, at what point do we start saying these acts that these people do are treasonous? These people are traitors. They are selling out the American people for a buck. It's just disgusting. And I can get some more of that information while we're on the show tonight if we want to get into it. But on that note, I think I've said enough and talked about, there's other things going on, but those are just like some of the highlights I figured I would mention. And, I really do think when you see about this Islamic Society of North America and what they're trying to do. And you can go out there and see it on the internet. You can go to their Facebook page, ISNA, their Facebook page, and they'll talk about their conference they just had in Tampa and their plans for D.C. And then you got this thing with the UN, the Law of the Sea Treaty. And then you say, I really do hope the military is going to protect us against this government. But I just have a feeling that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to get nasty. And who's going to be protecting us? And I think it's the military who's going to protect us against this government. But anyway, on that note, hey, Charlie, how are you doing today? And what's on your mind?
Well, I'm doing just fine. But what's on your mind is kind of unnerving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scare tactics coming from where?
The Islamic Society of North America.
All right, let me go
new
back
to
what
in
you
town.
Said now. Now, what you said is, what are we going to do when other people are going to wake up? Number one, a lot of people are awake, big time. There's one thing about this that happens. If the commander-in-chief does anything in any way, shape, or form against the sovereign government of America, like you were saying, is he going to turn the troops against us? Were he to make that order, the troops, because of the oath of office, and those who are above the troops who would be getting it, would be the first ones to say, no, Mr. President, we are not going to do it. It goes right down the line. He cannot walk up to the troops and say, you are going to fire on this, you are going to do this. you are going to have martial law in the state, United States of America. He cannot tell that to the troops.
But right now he does stuff similar to that with what he's done with these different wars. Everything that he's supposed to go to Congress to get approval for, he does his own executive order, and Congress just sits there like a bunch of morons.
No, Congress sits there like a bunch of morons because there probably are a bunch of morons, the majority of them. However, when he goes ahead and tells them to try to come after us, he has to go through the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's each department. Each one, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, did I forget any? Army,
Air Force.
Navy. Air Force, I got that. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. Then you have the CIA, and you have the National Guard. All of them are involved with, the National Guard is involved with the Army and that. But the thing is plus we have 23 million veterans who all took the oath to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States. And he would be totally, he would have taken the full bottle of stupid pills to make such a request or demand on anybody. Because that would be a total violation of the Constitution and his duties. And he would wind up being charged with treason, not by Congress, but by we the people and the Supreme Court of the United States of America. No president can go ahead and do that and turn the troops against the citizen, the government of the people. The only reason Congress is getting away and our elected officials get away with it is, like you said, we the people have become complacent and trusted. The big thing is we trusted them because we became complacent because we thought they were working for our good. But now they are working for their good and the good of their friends, relatives, and special interest people only. When Trent Lott gets $110,000 to lobby for something that's against American, he has really turned against America. There are others have done that too. John Micah and Teresa Jacobs, Rich Crotty, and the commissioners in Orange County have turned against the sovereign government of the people when we said no to rail systems, and they ignored us and said, well, we're going to shove it down your throats anyway, and they are doing it. However, the laws are on our side, and it just takes somebody with guts, the SISU, to go after them. And then, if we don't have any court, then that means we have no... If the courts do not back up the citizens in regards to our rights according to the Constitution, then that means there's no law. Then that comes into the category of, then that means we don't need any lawyers, we don't need any judges, and we don't need any sheriff's departments, police departments or anything, or mayors or anybody else, because it'll be anarchy. And they will all be caught, and all of that will come about because of the greediness of those that we trusted and put into office. So I tell you, all of this stuff that a lot of people are getting really upset about, you have to watch it. And if it happens, you have to take action.
Yeah, let me mention something real quick. Just so I was looking a little bit more at this law thing. Two things I want to go ahead and mention just before I forget and we get into the FCC stuff. Here's how it describes it. Its scope is vast. It covers all ocean space and with all of its uses, including navigation, overflight, all uses of its resources, living, non-living, on the high seas and on the ocean floor, beneath, on the continental shelf and on the territorial seas, the protection of the marine environment, basic law and order. The convention is widely recognized by international community as the legal framework within which all activities in the ocean and the seas must be carried out. And then the good news is we do have some hope out there. Senator Jim DeMint is gathering signatures from the his fellow senators, God can't talk, to help put a stop to this sovereignty-robbing treaty. So everybody needs to contact Senator Jim DeMint. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I thought I'd better put that
out that's
there.
Good. See, you have one person getting signatures from other. So if he gets enough people on that who are, how would you say, somewhat constitutional knowledgeable, then he's going to get enough people to stop it. However, if he doesn't, then what we have to do is we have to know who signed the thing with Jim DeMint and who didn't.
Yeah.
And then bring charges against them, not at the ballot box, but bring charges against them for overthrowing the sovereign government of America, because anything that overthrows the sovereign government, any bill that they make to take away our rights, is a violation of the rights of the people. Therefore, it's an overthrow of the sovereign government of the United States of America, because they are infringing on our rights as the government. As I said before, we all refer to Congress and all the elected officials as our government. They are our representative government, to do as we, the people, tell them to do, not as they wish to do. In regards to the selling of the airwaves above us, that means they have to get my permission to sell my airwaves. They can't sell it out from under me or from above me. They do not have that right. So whoever would go ahead and try to get that thing needs to immediately be brought up on charges. That means if we have to, Sally, that means we have to go ahead and file another complaint, if there's nobody else with guts on it, because the complaint we have now, I'm estimating that we will probably hear something probably by the first week of June. That's what I'm hoping. By the 4th of June, we should hear something. That's 30 days.
Right.
If we don't hear anything, then we have to go down there and ask them what is the status of it.
Right.
In person.
Okay. And, it was, and, just so you can know, it was... Rockefeller of West Virginia was the one who apparently was introducing this thing to sell the airwaves. It says Congress to sell public airwaves to pay benefits, and this was dated February 16th, 2012, in the New York Times.
Rockefeller.
Yep.
From the rich Rockefellers?
Oh, yeah.
From the rich Rockefeller selling the stuff that belongs to we the people who are not very rich. Now see, that is the height of stupidity on the part of the Rockefellers. I mean, they ripped off a lot of people when they were getting rich. And it looks like he still wants to continue in that trend. So it must be in a blood relation thing that, you know, go ahead and steal from the taxpayers. He must be a reverse Robin Hood.
Yeah, exactly. It says here, Conference on Emergency Communications Network to be created by auctioning airwaves. This is how they're going to pay for this other thing.
Auctioning
the airwaves.
Auctioning airwaves. Okay, auctioning the airwaves to who?
To whoever buys them. Auctioning. To whoever would buy them.
Oh, in other words, they're going to go ahead and auction them off to ABC, CBS, NBC so that ABC, CBS, NBC will no longer be under the FCC. And be able to do whatever they want to do.
I'll read this one paragraph real quick.
Yeah.
The need for revenue to partly cover the extension of the payroll tax cut and long-term unemployment benefits has pushed Congress to embrace a generational shift in the country's media landscape to auction off public airwaves now used for television broadcasts to create more wireless internet systems. If a compromise bill is completed by Thursday, Congress is approved as expected by this weekend. The result will eventually be faster connections to smartphones, blah, 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 blah. But the whole point is selling off, auctioning off the public airwaves.
Well, the public airwaves are eventually going to become a thing of the past with digital. So the FCC is no longer going to be needed. So I'm just saying, is, you know, that's that might be a good point. But the way they're going about it and not telling the people what the plan is so that we are informed is a violation of the people's rights to know what's happening with their freedoms. And so this is something that I would say would fall under the, how is it that you sell something that doesn't belong to you? The roads do not belong to the elected officials. They belong to the taxpayers. Therefore, the Indiana governor and all of those people in Indiana who sold that turnpike to that foreign company, they're actually in violation of the Constitution. Because there's nothing in the Constitution that gives them the right to sell anything that belongs to the people. Especially since the people have their money into it.
True.
This is what is wrong with our people in there. They seem to think that because they have been elected to office, they can do anything they want to offset their crazy spending. When everything they have to do is to cut spending. Now, something came over the internet just not too long ago, actually today, and it was that list that came out before, like how we the people are threatened if Obama doesn't get his way. He threatens to cut Social Security, Medicare, and everything that people have been paying for and are entitled to. But you never hear him say anything about cutting welfare for illegal aliens, welfare dollars, or even food stamps. You don't hear him cutting any of the, you don't hear him reducing any of his lavish spending on his vacations for him, his family, and especially for his daughters who went unescorted. Never in my life have I ever heard of a president letting his family go on a separate vacation from him at great expense to the taxpayers. I've heard of them taking vacations, but nothing has ever tipped the scales at $2.4 million to Spain, nor has any sibling of any. George Bush's girls and even Chelsea never went on a lavish vacation with a bunch of their friends to go all the way to Mexico with their complete entourage and all of this security and everything else. No. That was a total ripoff of the taxpayers. That definitely should not have happened, and that to me is an act of, how would you say? It's an act, it's actually fraud. It's actually theft of taxpayers' dollars.
Grand theft.
Grand theft. That is grand theft by the President of the United States, and that is a felony. That is grand theft by the First Lady of the United States, and that is a felony. And also, that is now grand theft by the daughters of the President of the United States for wanting to take their friends to Mexico at taxpayers' expense.
Yeah, they're too young to blame them. They don't know any better.
So we blame the parents for that one then, too, because
They
never should have asked for it. And whoever is in there giving directions to the president should have had the presence of mind to say, no, Mr. President, that is not in your job description where the taxpayers have to pay for it. Somebody is allowing him to do things, and that has to be the Secret Service or whoever is in charge there. And since the Democrats are in charge now, it would fall under, I would say that the Democrat Party should pay for all of those, reimburse the citizens of the United States for that. Because that is too much.
Did you hear the thing about Arizona today, speaking of Obama?
No.
Okay, well, this has been going on now for, I don't know, a couple weeks, whatever it is, who knows how long. But I guess it's coming to a head now, where Arizona has requested Hawaii to provide the birth certificate of Obama. They refused to do it, and so Arizona is now, their Secretary of State is now talking about not putting him on the ballot. So let's hope there's a trend there. It's really outrageous when we have a non-American being the president.
Oh, well,
not
Arizona has the right to do that.
Yep.
They have the right to keep him off the ballot if they do not get a original copy of the true birth certificate. Not the certificate of birth, but the birth certificate itself.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're the ones who vouch for him being having a birth certificate.
Yep.
Also, there is something else that is really good, and it was, what the heck, which one was it that is happening? You heard the one about, you said the one about Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was something else that is happening, too, that is quite interesting. And I'm trying to think about it. I just have the memory lapse on it. But I just thought over. Huh? Yeah, I had a senior moment.
Senior moment.
Yeah. But the thing is more and more states are starting to get up in arms about this. Oh, there is another lawsuit going out now with various states regarding the mandate of Obamacare in regards to contraception, but it is not just from the Catholics. It is from other religious organizations, and they are suing based on the fact that it's a violation of the First Amendment.
Was that the Black Pastors group or something? I saw something where a group of Black Pastors was doing something.
There's a Black Pastor. No, this is 11 different states, I think it is,
okay,
that have signed up for this. I mean, it's growing. It's getting bigger all the time. But there is another state that says Obama is not going to be on it. Was that Alabama? No.
I'm not sure. But I know there's been several states who have been challenging it. I think Texas was challenging it, too. So I this is going to be one very, very interesting election. And people better stay informed and pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, there is another one, too, that because of what he has done, that he is liable not to be on the ballot. I don't know if it's Florida's looking at it. It might be Florida that's looking at it, too, because there is something in Florida that he's violated. But the thing is Arizona has a right to do that now. Now, he can go ahead and he can get his DOJ all hooked up with that thing in Arizona, but he went after the Arizona and denied that we, the people, free protection from the drug cartels and illegal aliens. So now Arizona has come back with something else, because you don't go after a constitutional sheriff. I don't care who you are. Especially
right.
Somebody who is doing the job, someone who is doing the job properly. And they decided to go after the wrong guy. And I don't think this guy will back down.
Okay, there's a discussion, Obama removed from Georgia ballot, possibly. Something on there about them.
Yeah, okay, I think that's one of them, yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going through, seeing if I can find any of the other states. Let's see. Most of what I'm doing, just a search out here, Arizona's coming up a bunch of times, obviously.
Right.
I'm trying to see if there's any other states that are talking about the same thing. I know there are several states talking about it. I'm just trying to get more of a list of who all. Let's see. Georgia again. Okay. Anyway, keep talking. And if I find another one,
I'll let you know. He has absolutely violated the Constitution on so numerous occasions that because the Democrat and Republicans are together in office, but they've split the people up. That's why we have these the left and the right, the liberal and the conservative, because people joined a party. And as President George Washington said, the parties will divide the people. And once the people are divided, then it's easy for other people to take over and be in control. And so now you have the two parties, upper echelon, the chairman of the RNC, the chairman of the DNC, and all of the chairmen of the various state parties and all that. They're the ones who are in charge of what's going to happen in this country. And their special interest friends who make the donations to the campaigns. So the little guy, the average American, is just going to work and do whatever their bosses tell them to do. It is going to be like, it's going to be like the communist Russia, where you go to work 10 or 12 hours a day, and if you don't work, you don't get paid, you don't get food on the table. Because that's the way it worked. I mean, everybody was, like Obama wants, everybody's going to be treated fairly. That means if you work, do a fair day's work, then you're going to wind up having some, a fair amount of food. If you don't work, you're going to starve. You're going to be out on the street, panhandling, like the homeless. But it's going to be worse than the homeless because there's going to be so many people. It's going to be like the food lines that were during the Depression. And if you never went through the Depression, you have no idea how bad it's going to be with socialism. My parents went through the Depression. And after the Depression, they watched every penny because it was difficult for everybody there. And then we had the war, and we had rationing in the war. You couldn't get sugar all the time. You couldn't get gas for your car. So you walked a lot. And I'll tell you, you did a lot of stuff that you went without because the troops came first. And although the troops had rationing and they had those special meals and everything else, they still made sure that their food went overseas for the troops and the Allied troops because they did not want a Hitler to take over this world. And just like they didn't want anybody else to take over this world, because then you would not have your freedoms. And that's what's wrong with this country, is the fact that there is a lack of education, and it's all caused by people like George Bush with his No Child Left Behind policy. Or was that Bill Clinton? No Child Left Behind, whoever it was.
It was George Bush.
George Bush, okay. No Child Left Behind, well, now Florida has even reduced the requirements for graduating or for passing the FCAT test.
Terrible.
When I went through school, we had a test every Friday on our history lessons and also on English, geography, and everything. We had weekly tests. The only way we got out of it was if the teacher happened to have something special going on. But we also had something that is unique, too. They had double periods. And you say we need to do something with our education system in the United States? Well, with a double period, a teacher who has 30 students in their class for an hour and 45 minutes, basically what it is, like from 8 to 9:45, then you have 15 minutes to get from one classroom to another. He or she would have enough time to work with the class to cover the study material that generally was for a chapter or two chapters in English or English literature or English comprehension, which was very difficult. You have to comprehend and learn what Brutus was saying, and Caesar and all that. I mean, she made us go through all of that stuff, literature. But anyway, the teacher would be able to spend time when we were doing sentence structure, grammar, punctuation. She would be able to come up to the students that were having a hard time and personally explain the situation so that they would get the idea and be able to improve themselves. Because she would know who the bright students were who were catching on real quick. She would go to double-check with them, make sure that they were doing okay, or he would. And then they would be able to spend more time because they had an hour and 45 minutes. They were never really rushed. And there was no break between the hour and 45 minutes. If you had to go to the restroom, you raised your hand. And it was quiet in there. I mean, everybody studied. Then you went to the next class, and the next class was from 10 to 11:45. And that was usually history, or you could take a shop class to learn how to work with woodwork and all this, or something else. Maybe chemistry, biology.
But that was the days when we actually wanted to educate people. We don't want to educate them now.
Yeah, that was all education. But I'm saying is, now if they implemented that, the children would be educated. And this is what the parents have to do. Because we had homework. The other only other alternative you have to what I just said is to have mandatory education in select homes in the neighborhood where it's all done on a widescreen TV and the children are actually watched by an adult in the room at all times to make sure that they are getting it and that there's plenty of tests taken or given to the students so that we make sure that they do get and grasp the material and that they did study. Those are the only two options that they have in this country now because it's getting so big.
Yeah, but I mean, the homeschooling, I think, to me, is the thing that's critical. Parents to take back the responsibility of educating their kids and get them away from the public school system. Because just like what's happening here in Florida, instead of fixing the problem to better educate the kids, they're going to lower the standards so that you can be totally, totally, totally illiterate. I mean, I remember it used to be a joke about people who would graduate from high school and didn't know how to read and write. But now it's almost like mandatory. If you know how to read, if you're beyond a fifth or sixth grade education when you graduate from high school, 12 years, that's about all. That seems to be okay. And then something I heard today, this was, I think, on Special Report, which the average educational level of those in Congress today has dropped to eighth grade, I think it is. In the past, it was 11th grade. The average educational level, what they tested at or whatever, was 11th grade. Now they're down. These are the people that are running the country.
You mean our Congress would probably flunk a test that are you smarter than a five-year-old?
Probably, and that we know they'd flunk the Constitution.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they have no idea what the Constitution is.
Yeah, so the dumbing down of Americans right up there in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has been happening for years now. You're talking about this. I graduated in 1953. And I would say that it's probably started really going downhill in the late 70s, big time. I mean, we still had good quality teachers all the way up until 1960, I believe, 62. Is what I heard in my school. Then they had to start replacing them because they were retiring and all this type of thing. But, they still tried to, Fairport always tried to get top quality teachers, and they still do to today because it's a nice small town. And it was, when I was going through school, it was the third highest scholastic rating in the state of Ohio. Now, I don't know if that was for its size because it was a small school or if that was overall. But I'll tell you what, people that were flunking out in my the grade school, McKinley School, they went to the small city next to us. They were on the honor roll in 6 weeks. They moved out, and within six weeks, they were on the honor roll in what was considered a city of about, say, 10 or 12,000 people. That was the difference in the education and the requirements of Fairport Harbor, Ohio. And,
yeah, back
then
you said the Pledge of Allegiance. You actually took a moment for silent meditation.
Oh.
Was actually disciplined in the classroom. You know,
definitely.
I don't know what school is supposed to be today. It's definitely not an educational thing.
No. See, they think bigger is better, but actually it is smaller is the best.
Yep.
Because in a smaller one, the students can generally walk to school, just like here in Belle Isle. If they had a school here in Belle Isle, and the kids were able to walk or ride their bikes to it, that would be fine. But no, they got to all be bused. I mean, if they had to be bused, they shouldn't be bused more than, say, 5 miles. But the thing is they have them where it's huge. These are mega buildings now that they have schools in. And, bigger is not better because the teachers do not have the time to spend with the students. And that's what I'm saying is, the double periods give more hands-on attention for the students and the teachers, and you still can get them through the school just as fast because English is only going to go from September to January. And then in January, you can take history or something else. Double periods. So you're getting done with your requirements in half the time, but you have homework. And you have lots of homework. We used to go home having to read a chapter of history, a chapter of geography, and maybe a chapter in English to study the English, what we were coming up on. And then we had to do book reports and all this type of thing. And then the single classes were generally like math, algebra, because it didn't require a lot of studies in that. It's just, you know, basically explaining the math problems and then, you know, applying it at home, learning your multiplication tables and everything with no computers. But now they give computers so that when the computer malfunctions or they don't have one in their phone or something, or they forgot their phone, they're not worth a damn. They can't figure anything out. Computer goes out in the workplace and they're a cashier, they're stuck. They have no way, they have no idea what it's like to make change for a $20 bill. A lot of them can't, and that happened.
Oh, I know.
A girl could not make change from $18.87 out of a $20 bill. That's a dollar, what is it, 13?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $1.13. She did not know how to subtract 1887 from 20.
Scary.
It is scary. And that's what's happening in this great country because of the federal education department. Because they come up with these rules and regulations for the schools all across this country when the schools should be handled by the states and by the counties and by the county school districts. And the only thing the Fed should do is make sure that money is tax dollars are distributed equally across the state based on the number of students in each school.
Yeah, but it's not the Fed's role to be in education.
No,
the sooner we would get the Feds totally out of education, let it be a state initiative, and you know, you're taxed at the state level for different things. They ought to distribute it fairly instead of the crap we get today.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, you know, your income tax goes there, and then they always kick back money back to the states. Well, the income tax money that's designated for the schools should come out of the money right then, and it should be immediately sent back to the state for the schools.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is the federal government should lower the income tax and only take the money for what they need, and then we pay what we need to in our state.
Which is basically all they need for is reasonable money for administration, the president and that, and the military and our defenses.
Yeah, our and defenses infrastructure.
And infrastructure. But no, they have to. What it is the biggest problem we have is Congress has relocated themselves to Washington 3 days a week. So that means they get to fly back and forth to their home 4 days a week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Or they can go on a trip, all at taxpayers' expenses. Now, if they were to work in their state, in their district, for 3 weeks out of the month in Washington, they wouldn't need two houses. They wouldn't need to be up there all the time. And then all of the special interests would wind up having to spend money to go to the different states. That's the way this country was designed. But unfortunately, the devil's advocates have taken over the majority of our government. And they are either men or women. The devil's advocates who are either actively stealing from the American taxpayer or witnessing it and doing nothing about it. But now let's get on with our latest find regarding our complaint.
Yes, FCC. I touched on it a little bit in the beginning of the show, but I know that you have said for years that the public airwaves belong to the people.
Right.
And now that we've joined forces with some people out in Vegas who like our complaint and how this all comes together, I just love that line, serve the public interest. But on that note, you take over.
Well, let's see now. The Federal Communication Commission's FCC 99-390, that's the statute. And this is from 1999. It was adopted December 15th, 1999, released December 20th, 1999. Now, get this, the introduction. Television is the primary source of news and information to Americans and provides hours of entertainment every week. In particular, children spend far more time watching television than they spend with any other type of media. Those who broadcast television programs thus have a significant impact on society. Given the impact of their programming and their use of the public airwaves, broadcasters have a special role in serving the public. Now get this part. For over 70 years, broadcasters have been required by statute to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Congress has charged the Federal Communications Commission with the responsibility of implementing and enforcing this public interest requirement. Indeed, this is the touchstone of the Commission's statutory duty in licensing the public airwaves under the 1997, stating that television remains America's primary and most credible source of news and information, as well as a source of information on important social issues, and that network television is still overwhelmingly the way Americans choose to entertain themselves at home. Okay, well, this public interest requirement goes back to the Radio Act of 1927. And was carried over by Congress in the Communications Act of 1934. Now that is just a brief on what was on page one of this deal. Now let me go into number two. Communications Act of 1934, the Commission may issue, renew, or approve the transfer of a broadcast license only upon first finding that doing so will serve the public interest. So you do not get a new FCC license unless you can prove that you are going to do something good for the public interest, because you are using the people's airways, not the airways that, these airways do not belong to Congress, the Senate, or the President, or any government official that we have elected or is appointed. All these airwaves above your home belong to you, and which is we the people. Therefore, they cannot be sold without your permission. And any monies coming from the sale of them would go where we the people want the money to go, not where Rockefeller or any other elected official wants it to go. Because they'll just put it some way and direct it back into somebody's pocket. Okay. There has been considerable debate over the years about how the commission should carry out this statutory mandate. Here's the good part now. Currently, broadcasters must comply with a number of affirmative public interest programming and service obligations. For example, broadcast licensees must provide coverage of issues facing their communities and place lists of programming used in providing significant treatment of such issues in their public inspection files. Broadcasters must also comply with statutory political broadcasting requirements regarding equal, get this now, equal opportunities, charges for political advertising, and reasonable access for federal candidates. And also, in addition, television broadcasters must provide children's educational and informational programming under the Children's Television Act of 1990. Now that is very, very compelling.
Yeah, I love that part about the elections.
That's right, right. And also, I've also gone down a little bit further because there's a lot of writing in this, and I just don't want to read all of it. But it also emphasizes in C-47 USC 312, equal opportunities, candidate rates, and reasonable access. Now, that means reasonable access for people like Buddy Romer. And I bet you most of you haven't heard about him. He was running for president. Then there's a Bobby Wells, who was also running.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few candidates for president that we never hear anything about because of the illegal monopolies as the DNC and RNC.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's something else, too, that the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit has declared that some of the commission's EEO policies and rules unconstitutional and remanded certain aspects of these policies and rules to the commission for further consideration. Basically, they're quoting Lutheran Church versus Missouri Synod versus the FCC. That was in 1998. But here we go again. Okay. Congress stated in Section 336 of the Communications Act that nothing in this section shall be construed as relieving, get this now, relieving a television broadcasting station from its obligations to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Likewise, in implementing Section 336, the Commission reaffirmed that digital broadcasters remain public trustees with a responsibility to serve the public interest, and stated that existing public interest requirements continue to apply to all broadcast licenses. So that means if they are telling you about one side of the commuter rail system, SunRail, and they are not telling you about the other side of SunRail, how much it's going to cost and what it's really for, then you are not getting the true story of it, and therefore the licensee, be it ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox, could have their licenses removed with complaints from the public because they are not giving you the proper information regarding how this is coming about. And so let's say as an example now, we all voted no to a rail system in Mobility 2020 and on two other times. So where is it in the Constitution of the United States that seven people, Mayor Rich Crotty, motion made by Commissioner Teresa Jacobs and voted in by six commissioners and Mayor Crotty to grant more money for the study of commuter rails after we the people said no to the rail system? That is telling we the people our vote doesn't count, which means they are telling the sovereign government of America that you do not have a right to vote for the commuter rail. And they denied us that right again.
Can I get my one dig in there?
Now, Sally, put your three digs in there if you'd like.
Well, the whole reason we have this scam rail, as I refer to it, is because of good old John Mica. And just so people know, he has been on the record with Greta Van Susteren several times lately. He's out there complaining about the wasteful spending of SGA. And Greta just lets him slide by with all the garbage with TSA and with his trains to nowhere, the one that's out in Las Vegas, him and Harry Reid and Mica, and then, of course, the one here, the scam rail here in Central Florida. So I did go to her Greta Wire, the live blog thing that they had going on out there, and tried to educate her that he is one of the biggest pork spenders there is. He's wasting millions and billions of dollars on trains to nowhere, So he's got a lot of nerve, you know, complaining about people wasting money when that's all he does. And so I sent her the article that talked about the criticism, including Democrats and Republicans, who said that the project was a waste of money. But it and also showed, and the article stipulated, even with all the financial crisis we're facing, you still can't get Congress to be responsible. So, but we can't get the reporting, which is the reason for mentioning this here. And while Fox News is cable, and that's slightly different than the general public network kind of thing, they are still supposed to be reporters. And I requested that Greta, would start being a reporter and not an endorser. It's not her job to endorse Micah and try to help him get reelected under false pretense that he's somehow a fiscal conservative, because that's just a lie. It's not true. So I sent her the article and the link, so she now knows. And I'm going to be very curious to see if she goes out there and challenges him like she does others on her, on the fiscal side. I've liked a lot of stuff that Greta has said, but you know, you can't pick and choose your winners. Either report the facts as they are, report the truth. If you can't report the truth, then you should put a warning up there: slanted reporting based on our opinions of who we like, because that's what it is. So anyway, that was my 2 cents, 3 cents, whatever it was.
Okay, good. Let me go back to this 99-390. Okay. Our rules currently require commercial broadcasters to include in their public file, among other things, citizen agreements, records concerning broadcasts by candidates for public office, annual employee reports, letters and email from the public, issues programming lists, records concerning children's programming, commercial limits, and children's television programming reports. Should broadcasters provide the additional types of public services? Information proposed by the Advisory Committee and People for Better TV. Should they provide information in addition to or in lieu? And it keeps going on and on about that type of stuff. But I just want to give you a brief running on that, but then it started getting too lengthy. And I'm just going through some of this because this thing is 36 pages, and we are not going to read it all. Okay.
Oh, come on. Read the whole thing. No, joking.
Oh, okay. Here we go now. Enhancing access to the media. One of the commission's longstanding goals in the area of broadcast regulation is to enhance the access to the media by all people, including people of all races, ethnicities, and gender, and most recently, disabled person. Congress emphasized this goal when it amended Section 1 of the Communications Act in 1996 to refine this agency's mission as making available to all people of the United States without discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, or sex, a rapid, efficient, nationwide, and worldwide wire and radio communication service. So there you have it. I mean, it is basically for we the people, not for we the those wanting to be elected of the Democrat and Republican Party with the using our airwaves. And there was also something in here where they're trying to actually get free access for candidates of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. What about the people who are not selected as a chosen one by the Democrat and Republican Party committees?
George Washington couldn't run for office today.
Mm-hmm. No.
He really couldn't. He was a no party affiliate, so he wouldn't have a chance.
No.
And it's time to get back to being Americans instead of party loyalist.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's disgusting. And people, they can, if you go out there on the internet and do a search on Federal Communications Commission, FCC 99-390, you can pull up the whole copy of what we're talking about. Very interesting. Yeah.
Right. All right. We note that some broadcasters have devoted many hours of program times to political coverage. According to a report recently issued by the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB report, In the 1996 election cycle, broadcasters valued the time they voluntarily devoted to political complaints at $148.4 million. This programming took the form of coverage of debates, conventions, and issue fora, whatever that is. Many more hours of news programming not accounted for in these figures have been dedicated to covering local and national campaigns. In addition, during the 1996 elections, the Fox, PBS, and ABC networks voluntarily provided free airtime to the major presidential candidates using a variety of formats. For example, during the last 6 weeks of the 1996 presidential campaign, the Fox Television Network offered each major presidential candidate free airtime, including the opportunity to make 10 one-minute position statements that were broadcast in prime time. The PBS and ABC television networks also set aside free airtime for presentations by the major presidential candidates. And the A.H. Bello Corporation provided free airtime in selected federal congressional elections and gubernatorial races. The commission exempted these efforts from the equal opportunity requirements, finding that the proposals qualified as on-the-spot coverage of a bona fide news event.
But they say
now,
major candidates, major,
right,
which means
major,
the DNC and the RNC.
Right. We seek comment on what the commission can do to encourage these kinds of voluntary efforts by television broadcasters. So let me go one little bit further because I got some more on this. On the other hand, we note that there are indications that many television broadcasters are providing scant coverage of local public affairs, and what coverage there is may be shrinking. For example, a 1998 study by the University of Southern California Annenberg School for Communications found that only 0.31% of local news focused on the California governor's race, compared to a figure of 1.8% in 1974. Similarly, on April 1998, joint report by the Media Access Project and the Benton Foundation found that in the markets examined, 35% of the station provided no local news, and 25% offer neither local public affairs programming nor local news. Now, let's see one other thing here. Okay. 30 days before the commission envisions maximum flexibility. Okay. Okay, here we go. President Clinton has called upon the commission to develop policies as soon as possible which should ensure that broadcasters provide free and discounted airtime for candidates to educate voters. Letter from President Clinton to Chairman William E. Kennard, February 5, 1998. 72 members of the United States House of Representatives and 11 United States senators have urged us to propose regulations providing for free and reduced rate airtime for candidates. 42 members of the United States House of Representatives signed Representative Tierney's February 1998 letter to President Clinton, supporting the President's request that the Commission provide regulations providing for free or reduced rate time for candidates. In addition, 30 members of the House of Representatives signed Representative Sauter and Representative Boehner's, Boehner's, June 4th, 97 letter to the commission, and four more supplemental signatures were added subsequently. The June 4 letter asked the commission to conduct an inquiry into what additional public interest the committee, a majority, contend that the committee's recommendations do not go far enough and that the commission should, among other things, require television broadcasters to provide some airtime for national and local candidates. So it looks like Congress, again, is working for their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because not once did you ever hear anything about competition, to provide more competition, to help the little guy, you know, the Green Party, the Reform Party, the Constitution Party,
the
Libertarian
Party.
The No Party. The No Party affiliate, the Independent Party. Not once did you hear any of that in there, because they are only concerned with two parties, the illegal monopoly of the Republican National Committee and the illegal monopoly of the Democrat National Committee. And ladies and gentlemen, I am confident that calling them illegal monopolies is right, proper, and will become the law. Because they are in violation of the law, because Sally and I do have the evidence to prove it. And we also have the evidence to prove that many government agencies are in collusion with the two illegal monopolies to pull off the biggest scam or possible Ponzi scheme in the United States of America, or in the world, because they are not looking out for the best interests of America. They're only looking out for the best interests of their own pockets, for their children, their families, their friends, their relatives, and their business partners. And ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this, but they're probably just saying right now, the hell with you. America belongs to the elected. And ladies and gentlemen, that is so far from the truth. But if you just keep sitting there and not paying attention to what's going on around you, you will not have an America. I'm 77, and I'm doing this because I love America, and my whole family served this great country. Now, are you going to sit on your butt and watch that television and not do anything? Then you are your own worst enemy, because it will come back and hit you hard, because the karma, what comes around goes around. If you don't work, you don't get paid. If you take money from others, you are going to pay dearly in the future for it, because you have a representative government that is 90%, as far as I'm concerned, against you and against this country. Because if they were for this country, we would not be in the financial situation we are. They would never have approved the stimulus for the rich. They never would have approved spending all of that money for the stimulus that went to the rich. Because, ladies and gentlemen, why would you put in for a stimulus bill of $700+ billion and give it to the banks and to Wall Street, when you could give it to the Small Business Association for small businesses to start up again, where those who have left this great country can stay offshore, and we could have used their abandoned buildings and started up toy factories, shoe factories, and you name it, bike factories, television factories. All of it could have been restarted right here in the United States of America, because we do have the technology and we do have the people. But no, the idiots of Washington in Congress wanted to give your money, your hard-earned tax dollars, to the greedy rich. And then you have elected a president who says fairness. He wants people to be treated fairly. Take from the rich and give it to the poor. But have you ever heard him say he's going to do it? He has spent more money on vacations than about the last five presidents all put together, and I'm talking about personal vacations with their friends and everything. And he has been wasting money, because he can't prove anything. Solyndra, $538 million, or was that billion?
It was half a billion for them,
I think
we gave a couple billion to Brazil to drill for oil.
Yeah, $2 billion to drill for oil in Brazil. when we have the Keystone Pipeline right here from our friends in Canada, and they could have built two refineries with that money close to Canada, further down, to make sure that we in America have all the oil that we need. But no, his vision of America is communism, socialism, Nazism, because he hasn't done anything except try to fundamentally change America against the will of the people, and that, ladies and gentlemen, was in the dictionary as an act of treason. You do not fundamentally change a country without the people's permission and knowing what you are really going to change it to. He's never been educated the people on what his plan is. He has been very secretive about everything, and that's why he has so many czars around him, so that he can blame them when something goes the wrong direction. You have elected a man who is not for America. He has proven it. He has lied to us, and therefore he does not have my respect, although I do respect the office of the president. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get behind our complaint, you're going to be wishing you had done something right now. Because a year from now, 7 months from now, if you vote the wrong way, you're not going to have the America that you want it to be. You are not going to get the freebies, because people who make money will not want to keep giving the money, and all they have to do is quit working and quit paying taxes, and you won't get anything. Those of you on welfare, you won't get a dime. Those of you here illegally, you won't get a dime, because people are getting mad. All right, Sally.
Yeah,
I was talking a long time, wasn't I?
that was good. And but the thing is, you know, we can say what we want to about that moron in the White House. We've got an awful lot of them. How many in the Senate and how many in the House of Representatives? We've got two houses of Congress that are swarming with morons who don't believe in the Constitution. All they believe is in their stupid political parties and they want to get reelected for. They have done such a disservice to this country. Yes, I'm making a blanket statement. There are those like Jim DeMint who's trying to fight off this UN lost thing, law of the open sea treaty, and this kind of stuff. And so they're not all like that. But even those, even the Jim DeMints, they are out there for that stinking party, and they're going to support the party. It doesn't matter whether the person is also a Muslim, whatever you want to call it, anti-American brotherhood,
right.
Whatever. You know, so it's just so disgusting. And, I mean, that was the whole reason for having these two bodies of government, the two houses of Congress, that were supposed to monitor and keep an eye on what the president was doing. They were supposed to monitor and keep an eye on each other. And it's just one massive collusion with the obvious intent to destroy this country. That's, you know, and, of course, we're the ones who keep putting them there, so, you know.
Right.
Who's the true morons here, I guess?
Right.
But I can proudly say I didn't vote for anybody who's in office today. There's not one person I voted for. I don't vote for the same politicians. We've got to fire the career politicians. They are truly the cancer of this society. And we've got to go after the political establishment, the ballot box establishment. And I did drop a note to Judge Napolitano. I hope that he'll look at our case, since he frequently says the parties are illegal monopolies. So.
Oh, I sent one to him, too.
Well, hey, the more the merrier.
Well,
I saw
that address in there, and I went ahead and sent him one. And I said, well, who knows? He just might. I sent it different than you, because we do something. We basically cover the same topics, but we do it in our own way.
Well,
you do it
point.
Your way, and I do
yep.
it my way, but we
yep.
both get it across there.
Yep. And in mine, because I sent it through the website, I could not attach the actual complaint. I just gave him the link to it on AmericanStatesman.org. And
mm-hmm.
if you sent him an email, I don't know if you attached the thing to it or not, but you could send them that way. But the main point is, once again, reaching out to Judge Napolitano, because he had, how many times has he said the political parties are illegal monopolies?
I don't know, but he said it enough times, yep.
Yep. So we're, you know, it would be so great to have him look at the case and just give us a yay or nay if he supports it or thinks we're on the right track or whatever. It would,
there's,
you know,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Regarding our complaint, we now know of about 7 places that are pushing it for us. I mean, these are people who are really getting behind it. But ladies and gentlemen, we have sent this out to so many people that there are, we feel that there are a lot of others that are also sending it to other people, but they're not going to communicate back with us all the time. And there are a lot of people who will access what we have sent them, but then they won't say, come, they will not reply, but they are behind us. It's really funny that you can do an awful lot of this stuff, and we don't, Sally and I do not get discouraged in what we're doing. But the thing is you will be discouraged if you don't forward this complaint so other people get to see it. And if you access our archives, are you listening? And you go to work tomorrow and you don't say something about, go to AmericanStatesman.org and look and pull up the complaint so you'll have something to read when you go home. If you don't tell that to your fellow workers, you're not really, how would you say, trying to make America better. You're just almost like a sheeple. You're willing to do what the Republican or Democrat Party tell you. If you're really a patriot and you really love this country, you're going to take that complaint and let somebody else know about it so that they can make a decision whether they like it or not. You don't hide it. You spread it around. Sally and I have given out over 200 of those things at the various political functions that we've been going to. People are now sending us different communications, and it's gratifying to see them happening. There can be a lot more people coming around, too, and we do intend to continue with this complaint. And eventually, because of this FCC information, I'm sure that there's going to be some changes made in how the coverage goes on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, because I tell you, it is their job to keep us informed. And if you don't know or don't hear about this complaint, then you are not being informed properly, and therefore you have every right to file a complaint against them. The commuter rail here in Central Florida has good parts to it and bad parts to it. But they didn't tell you about the bad parts. And it was all done on speculation. And it doesn't go by a major highway. You have to drive and park there to go 20 miles, 40 miles, 60 miles. And then you have to get a bus to get to your destination, because I'm going to call them the transportation idiots of Central Florida and the DOT, which I call them the dot brains of Florida. Dot brains. That's, they always think about how to do things, but they think about it in very small dot formation. So let's call them the dot brains, because they are not thinking about how to get cars off of I-4. CSX tracks will not do it, and above the ground rail system would have done it, and that would have cost us about $65 million from Daytona Beach at $1 million a mile. Might have cost us a little bit more with overrides and also going over or under the overpasses, but the thing is it would have been a lot cheaper than the commuter rail that we had to pay CSX for.
But we still had the problem with the bus infrastructure, so you still had all the other issues that tied up to it. So it's a very big expense.
Yeah, the bus system should have been implemented first so that people would get used to getting on a bus from their home instead of going. But now what it is the rail system is going to be put there, and people are going to just, oh, I'm going to go downtown. They aren't going to hop on this rail system. Maybe one time. But then they're going to find out how much it costs and the fact that they won't ride it again.
How much it costs and how limited their options are to get anywhere, because you're still going to have to hop on a bus or do something else, and you're going to waste all your time. You know, your commute time is going to be so much more. And, of course, we all know mass transit is part of Agenda 21. They want to control the movement of the sheeple.
Well, I'll tell you what. When this thing is done in 2 years, I would not want to be one of those who violated the people's rights and overthrew the vote of the people. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in this area here who are going to have to pay for the rest of their life for something they'll never use. And there are 7 people in Orange County who brought this about. Mayor Crotty, Teresa Jacobs, Mildred Fernandez, Broomer, and who else? And Stewart, Linda Stewart, and who else was on there?
Well, you got the whole hee-haw gang at the city council, and then, of course, you've got the thugs in Tallahassee, and of course, you have the House of Representatives who allowed this pork to continue on, too. So.
And then also you've got the bribed Governor Scott.
Yeah, the extortion.
The extortion, yeah. The one that we accuse of accepting a bribe from John Micah, who we accuse of giving them a bribe because no other reason. When the governor of the state of Florida says no to a high-speed rail system, but turns right around and okays a short one that's going to do nothing for the good of the people, and we believe it was done because of the Miami port, because John Micah holds the purse strings for the Miami port, and if he were to deny the expansion of the Miami port for the super tankers and the super ships that come in, John Micah would be violating the rights of the people of Florida to have a first-class port for business. And he would be the one who would be, how would you say, violating the Constitution, which he's already doing anyway.
Right.
But ladies and gentlemen, when you go to the polls this year, your best bet is to vote for somebody who is not on the ballot. Write in a candidate. Or vote for a third-party person. But you vote Republican or Democrat, I don't care who it is or how much they promise you. If they got the Republican or Democrat title next to them, they are not going to represent you. They're going to represent the party, and the party's going to represent the special interests, and that person is going to get much richer.
Exactly.
Even a person that pays his own way, who's a Democrat or Republican, if he goes through the GO process, then I would vote for him or her, because the GO process at least weeds them out and makes sure that they do know something about the constitutional rights of we the people.
And they're vetted by the district. They're vetted by the
That's
people
right.
of the district, not by a stupid political party.
That's right.
They're chosen from their peers.
Yeah, just look at how nice the Democrats and Republicans vetted President Barack Obama.
Yeah.
They could not even get his school records to go over. And he's the president of the United States, and they did not go and get his records before they allowed him to run. The whole Democrat Party has committed an act of treason against the sovereign government of America, which is we the people, by allowing Barack Hussein Obama to run for president without knowing fully and without a doubt that he is a citizen of the United States.
But it's beyond that, though. I mean, it's, the parties, the Republican Party was just as guilty. They were all too afraid of the political correctness. They're going to be called a racist if they follow the law, and that wasn't it at all. And, of course, you have the morons of the two houses of Congress. They refuse to do their job. They have the egregious violations that they have, failure to honor their oath of office, and their acts amount to treason, because what they are doing is destroying this country. It's in the negative of this country. They are not working for the people. They are destroying this country. Like I said, people better worry more about these idiots in office than they do Al-Qaeda. They really do need to.
Mm-hmm.
It's but there is one thing I want to get back on the FCC thing. You mentioned the public files, and Tina was talking about this. Every network has the public files.
Right.
And I've never gone out to request anything, but I'm going to find out. I want to know more about how we go seek information from the public files, what they claim they do in, to serve the public interest. And
well,
how
that
is
would be
it,
fun to do.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun to do.
Yeah, and as part of this campaign, for you know anyone listening out there, if you've got a brain and you listen to any kind of local or network broadcasting news, you know that they slant it. And, I mean, they do it on cable, too. But there is some different rules when it comes to cable TV, so I'm going to stay away from the cable TV per se. And because when we go after the FCC, violations of FCC, that's going to be the networks and their affiliates. So, you know, when you think about the local news crapola that you listen to, you know, for them to go and say they're going to give time to the major candidates. So, in other words, if you're not rich and you're not part of the party elites, then, you know, a no-party affiliate, like I said, right? You know, George Washington would not get the time of day from the network affiliates today.
No,
from
the
networks.
Farmer.
They wouldn't give him the time of day, and he was truly the best president we ever had, but he would never stand a chance based on what the media does. And the media is a driving force. You know, no one's going to convince me, and I'll go with the Ron Paul thing because it's one of the easiest ones to explain nationwide. No one's going to convince me that this whole campaign, GOP nomination, would not be different if the media gave equal time to Ron Paul as they did to Mitt Romney. Even if they went and said, you know, we're doing a side-by-side compare of how many people are at these events. Ron Paul's had more people attending his events than Romney, so why are they giving the time to Romney? This is not serving the public interest. False reporting, inaccurate reporting, slanted reporting is against the public interest. That's what they're doing. They are working against the public interest. So you go, and anybody that's out there listening, we need you to go think about who your local network affiliates are, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, local, and go out there and pay attention to how they falsely report, how they twist and slant report, how they change the facts to promote some agenda that they have or to support their advertisers, such as the RNC and the DNC, and who, you know, how they also do this in collusion with various public offices, and document that stuff, and go to this public files thing. Like I said, I need to know a little bit more about how to make a formal request to see their public files, and document that they do not serve the public interest. It just isn't going to be that hard to document it. We can see it all over the place. They lie, scam rail. They refuse to tell the truth about scam rail. They don't report on it. They twist it so much because they gotta stay in collusion with these various political entities because they think they're gonna get free money from Washington or all these various deals, or they're gonna get more marketing campaign dollars from the political parties. They're not in the job. They're not out there to report the news. They're there to make a profit, and they'll sell you whatever information their marketing partners out there, whether that be the political office, that elected to public office, those the various governmental agencies, and of course the DNC and the RNC. So that is really why this thing with the FCC is so critical to what we are doing with the ballot box. Their violations of serving the public interest are a direct impact to who we get to elect as part of this ballot box establishment. The media is part of the ballot box establishment. So I am really looking forward to this, and we're going to be coming up with more information. Like we were saying earlier, we're working with a group out of Las Vegas, Tina Trenner. She was on the show Thursday, and she is a broadcaster. She understands this stuff much better than I do, and she gave us a lot of information. She's the one that brought this other, 99390 FCC, 99390. To our attention where it spells it out. And so now we need to launch a nationwide campaign against the affiliates. They have failed to do their job. We need to revoke their licenses because they do not serve the public interest. Falsely reporting, slanted reporting, misreporting. And how many times, We can talk about the, just how many examples can you give? I'm giving the most basic one of
you already mentioned
Ron Paul.
The trail, which used to be called Mobility 2020.
Right.
Mobility 2020 was the one that had the rail system in it, and we the people said no at the ballot box. But now all of a sudden, Crotty and the commissioners decided that we the people were not intelligent enough to vote for what we wanted because we said no to their commuter rail. So they went ahead and surround or went around us, or so they thought. But what they did was they actually took away our vote, our mandate. And therefore, they have violated the law of the land, the Constitution, because when we, the people, say something, it is protected in the Constitution. And we said it at a ballot box. And I don't care. Once it's won, once it's beat down at the ballot box, and we won by over 2,000 votes, and it was in a special election. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is when you have to turn around and tell them that we're coming after them. Now, here's one of my suggestions to you all. Hold on. Okay. My suggestion to all of you is if you know somebody who ran for office in the state of Florida from the year 1999 to now, or 1998, anywhere in that period, recently, or go all the way back, we don't care, who was not given any time at all on the airwaves by the elected, by the media. In other words, if you were not selected by the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, and you wanted to do a commercial, and you contacted the station, and they quoted you a price, if that station gave anybody else free time, then they did not tell you about it, they have violated your right to run. Statute of limitations in this case are not because it's a government situation. Statute of limitations would be out the door as far as I'm concerned. The law may look at it different, but however, to not tell you that they were giving free time out so that you could get your point across would be a violation of your rights to equal justice under the Constitution, because they were using your airwaves, which gives you some power and some rights, because you're using my airwaves. They're using my airwaves. They're using Sally's airwaves. They're using everybody's. And it says they will do equal fairness to everybody, equal opportunities, regardless of race, color, creed, national origin, etc. So if you were a candidate and you did not get on TV because, and the other one, they gave any kind of free time at all to anybody, you have a right to be involved in the litigation. And if we have to go to litigation, we go right to the FCC and say, this is what we want done, here's the proof. We would like to get your proof, so send it into, go to AmericanStatesman.org and you can get the contacts where we're at. AmericanStatesman.org. And we will go ahead and forward that information to our contacts who are also working on this FCC thing. But now, see, it's time for us. Things are coming out that were actually made law by guess who? By commissions. The commissions made this because they were given the right to make it by Congress. So they made the rules to be fair. They're thinking about everybody. But somewhere along the line, the two parties got to those who were supposed to be fair, and they became unfair. That's when it hurt you, the candidate, that it was not selected by the party executive committees. So we now have more evidence in regards to our complaint that was filed with the FBI on May 4th, 2012, at approximately 2 p.m. 178 pages were in that complaint, 42 were people who agreed with us and what we had said in the complaint. They had nothing to do with the complaint. They did not submit any material for it. They just read the complaint and they said, yes, something had to be done. And so that is what we are doing. They agreed and we upheld it. We went there and we filed it. Now we have to make sure that it does get adjudicated. Hopefully we will be able to avoid a lengthy court battle. But then again, if the powers to be are that stupid, then we will be asking for an injunction to cease and desist all operations as a political party immediately. And we will ask that of the courts. And I don't care if that happens in the month of July, August, or even September. We will ask for a complete and immediate stop until the situation is cleared up. That is how adamant we are about this. So if you want to help, or you're just going to sit back and be a sheeple, then, and you don't do anything, then don't complain. Because it's time for you to wake up and see that your freedoms are being violated through the Patriot Act, the NDAA, special executive orders, and your own very own legislators on a federal, state, and local level writing rules to deny you your rights to vote for situations that are going to cost you money, and putting referendums on a closed primary election such as the one that was held on January 31st that was asking for the permission from the people to grant the Board of Orange County Supervisors to be able to decide on how much of a tax reduction businesses can get if they hire full-time employees. The smell of bribery through a statute that was not presented to all of the people of Central Florida, just to the Republicans. I believe Teresa Jacobs is a Republican, as are most of the commissioners. So why on earth would they put this on a Republican referendum, a Republican closed primary election? Naturally, because Republicans generally back up businesses. Isn't that a nice sneaky way to avoid getting an issue passed illegally? Unconstitutionally. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's more proof of treason. More proof of overthrowing the government by Commissioner Teresa Jacobs and now Mayor Teresa Jacobs and the commissioners. Because they are denying us our rights to vote properly. So let's see how the FBI handles this case. And if we have to add them as litigants on the defense. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, we need people to continue to contact the FBI, contact your local office, place your own complaint with your local office, contact the Maitland-Orlando office. We have got to continue to put the pressure on them. Of course, we have no idea how many people have actually contacted them, but we do know, like Charlie mentioned earlier, we've got several groups across this country who are really actively pushing to share the information to all their tea parties and their groups, their patriots, about the complaint. And we are getting people to send the complaint. They're going to our website, AmericanStatesman.org, printing up the petition that says, yes, you agree with our complaint and you want to be part of it, and mailing them to us. So we are getting it out there. It's helping. It's, obviously it's a little bit rough, and we don't have millions of dollars on advertising campaigns like super PACs and all this other crazy stuff. We are depending on the people being united in this cause, which we are. Very, very, very few people have gone against what this complaint is. And I've even had some of those who were part of the Republican committee kind of thing, where they, after they heard me talk about what the complaint is, say they agree with me on it. And I said, I agree with everything you just said. And because this is what it is. If you're an American, you have to accept this. And if you're an American, you need to stop being a party loyalist. You need to be an American first. It's just that simple. But
right.
we do want to thank those who have been out there working with us, getting the word out there, and thank
right.
those who have actually sent the petitions to us, because it's helping.
And we do, and ladies and gentlemen, the FBI, is to me, is really the last, how would you say, government agency that we the people can rely on. They have done an extraordinary job in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, where Cleveland, Ohio sits there, and that's the main place. They came up with 35 indictments against Jim DeMora, who was convicted of 33 that involved everything from fraud, bribery, corruption, and commingling, or you name it. And now they're going after a Mr. Russo, who was also involved in it. But they actually did such a beautiful job that they got clerk typists and secretaries to turn state's evidence to get a reduced sentence, because some of them were actually involved and knowingly handled the money, knowingly helped finalize some of the bribes or fraud or whatever was going on and process the paperwork. And they did so because they were getting paid. And they know darn well that there's a chance that they may go to, and they have children. But boy, they turned around and started singing like a chorus of canaries to try to get the FBI to reduce it. That is how powerful the FBI is. And Sally and I really do have confidence that the FBI will and is, how would you say, investigating our complaint. And we have every intention of going there in about a week or so to find out what the status is if they don't call us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this thing here has nothing to do with Sally and me. It has everything to do with the citizens of the United States of America, we the people. That is why we're filing it. And when we have had about how many, four calls that was it, Sally, from different people who says we need to do this with this set, and we told them that go ahead and use it, and whatever state wants to put it to use can do so.
Well, calls, we've received a lot of emails, too. So we've had
right.
different groups actually talking to us about it and saying what can they do and things like that. And we said, you know, we haven't copyrighted this complaint. You've got a right to file a complaint. Use it as a blueprint to what your own complaint would be for your own state. If you're in Florida, you can go out there and do some additional research, just like this FCC thing, and see, yes, it's part of it, and add on to it. You know, go out there. It's up to us to take this back. It's the political parties are not going to do this. The ballot box establishment is out there guarding their power and their control and their money against us. And the FBI, I have no doubt, while they're doing their discussion, their decision, how far they're going to investigate this and whatever else, you know they're going to get pressure from the political arena to back off and not do anything. So, that's just the way it is. You know, it's unfortunately the sad fact. Look at all the things we heard about what the prosecutor did with this Trayvon thing. Talk about total disgust of what people
right.
do in public office and the pressure and the abuse of their authority. So we know there's going to be those who are going to try to block the FBI from doing this. But we think in the end the FBI is going to do the right thing. And obviously, I mean, if the FBI just thinks it's just Charlie and me out here complaining the Winers Club routine or something, and they say, oh, this is just an isolated case, then they might have their own grounds to dismiss it that it's not, even if it's true, it's not of a major significant event to them. Who knows? I don't know. However,
yeah. because of what I saw up in Cleveland
mm-hmm.
and how long that thing went, I really do believe that they are probably talking it up here in the state of Florida, and they are probably checking into different things. And we did show them the evidence
right.
of what they are doing. And just the fact that they put this referendum to be able to decide who gets a tax break for hiring full-time employees without going through all of the voters, they have disenfranchised the Democrat Party and those who are independents who didn't find out about it. It should never have been put on a primary because, according to the Florida Supreme Court, a primary election is for finding out who should be on the general election. It is not for electing anybody to office. And I do believe that Mayor Rich Crotty was voted into office on the primary election 4 years on his last term, or maybe on both of his last terms. And if that happened, Mayor Crotty is in violation of the federal law, of the state laws of the United States, and therefore he's in violation of the ballot box. And I believe that would be more than just a felony.
The primary is supposed to be a nominating process, not a public referendum election, and that's the whole point. Anybody who was not a Republican didn't realize, and this, again, goes to the fact the media did not properly serve the public interest, did not properly notify the public of what a primary is here in Orange County, that you're electing people in primaries, that you're voting on public referendums in primaries. That isn't what a primary is. So they have misrepresented what a primary is, and so that's ties it all back together. I mean, the collusion between the entities, the parties, and the media, and these things are all taking away our right to elect the representation of our choice, to vote on public policy of our choice. It's just, it's outrageous, and we got to stop it.
And also, ladies and gentlemen, here's another thought for the subject. Our state legislature makes the laws governing how the elections will be handled. So they become state statutes. They are supposed to be done in a constitutional manner to uphold the constitutional rights of we the people. However, where is it that we the people are supposed to allow for double dipping and triple dipping of retirement? If there's a statute on it and Lawson Lamar is enjoying all of that extra money, plus he's working full time and he resigned as the state attorney and then rehired himself in to elected official as an elected official a day later. Now, who wrote that law? Somebody needs to pull that law up, check it out, because that is another violation. So the legislators are not put in office to make it possible for the Republican Party or the Democrat Party to have control of the ballot box. They are put in there to operate the state of Florida to make sure that we don't go bankrupt like California. But they are working on making things good for themselves and their peers, their fellow elected officials. They did not put any safeguards in there to protect we the people from those who are corrupt, dishonest, or who would accept a bribe or anything like that. They went ahead and twisted the laws around to satisfy the needs of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party who select who we will vote for. This is what the big thing about this complaint is. Restoring honesty in the ballot box. Honesty where you, the average American citizen with some intelligence now, could be able to run for office and not have to have $1 million kitty. If there is going to be free time on the airwaves, that are the people's airwaves, then every candidate, regardless of whether they are a party member or not, would be given equal time. Those are our airwaves, and for the 2 months prior to an election, I see no reason why political airtime cannot be free to everybody, and they would be restricted to so many minutes per hour so that we are not inundated with all kinds of ads. However, the ads would all have to be carefully scrutinized by possibly volunteers who are not party associated or not associated with all of the candidate. There's ways to do it, but we the people have to take back our ballot box or you are not going to have a country of freedom. They're already destroying it. You have to put the stop to it, and it better be 2012. And that means getting rid of a lot of the scumbags who are in Congress right now, and also in local offices. Okay, Sally.
Yeah, that is it. That is the absolute truth. And anyway, that's we're getting down to the last few minutes here.
All right.
But definitely this FCC, I mean, just it was just very interesting and eye-opening when we had Tina on Thursday and we got into this FCC thing and how, I mean, we already knew the media was part of the ballot box establishment. We just weren't as knowledgeable exactly with this, with the regs on how they define serve the public interest. And we really do need to take that to task and to go after the local affiliates. And also we tied into our complaint that they infringe on our rights. Yes.
To anybody out there, if you have some time and you would like to go, go to the channel, to ABC, CBS, and NBC, and Fox, and ask them for their public programming records.
Public
and
files,
look at
right.
It, and files. And then also ask them about the election, the last elections, that you want to see who was given free time, if any. And also the records of how the pay was. And if they say something, say, well, you're doing an investigation of your airwaves, the use of your airwaves for a class private. They aren't supposed to ask you questions why, but you have a right.
Yeah, and if they try to deny it to you, that's a whole other issue. And then you got a whole other, you could take action against them at that point.
Right.
But hopefully they will just give you the information. But you definitely got to figure they're going to push back because they're not going to want to share the information because they know what they're doing wrong, too. They, you know, it's
if they're doing
so
something
blatantly
wrong,
obvious.
They're going to give you a hard time.
Right.
If they're doing something wrong, they give you a hard time. And that's when you turn around and have to give them a hard time. But be nice to them because they're probably giving you a hard time because of the pressure from their bosses who are being pressured by the two parties. And by the elected. All right, Sally.
Okay.
God bless America. God bless our troops. We'll be back on this on Thursday with hopefully more information about the FCC and what you can do about helping to restore honesty in the ballot box and in America's representative government.
Well, we got to remember, we're American Statesman is going to be working with GO at the event.
Yeah,
the
right.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a chance we'll be on Thursday, but we may not.
Yeah.
But we'll post it out there, and then if we're not on Thursday, we will give you a full update on the event on Monday, the following Monday, and the update on this too. Right, because right now it's like 50-50. If we both go on Thursday, then there will be no one to do the show. So on that note, once again, thank you for tuning in, and united we will stand. United we will stand. We have got to come together, take back our vote. Can't take back this country if we can't elect the representation of our choice. It's really just that simple. And on that note, again, thank you for tuning in. And as always, may God bless the USA. Good night.